So today we're on Daf Kuf Dalet, right? Kuf Dalet today. Okay, let me get the Daf. All right, we're on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. I'll begin with Gufa, around 10 lines down. Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, around 10 lines down, where it says Gufa. So the Gemara says Gufa Amar Rav Chista Mem V'Samach Shabaluchot B'nei Sayuomdim. So we mentioned previously in the Gemara that the Aseret Dibrot, so it was the was incised in the stone. So it was charut. So the mem and the samech, they each have like a piece in the middle that's not connected. So that was like miraculously held in the air. But Amar Rav Chista, Ktav Shabaluchot Nikra Mibifnim and Nikra Mibachutz. Rav Chista says the Ktav that's on the luchot, and again, because I'll teach us the luchot, it will have this blineder in Yerushalmi, in Shkalim. So the luchot were like a cube. Or there's different, it was like a cube and it goes through from one end to the other end and there's different, and I think there's shita that say it was written on each side of the cube. But the point is that when it goes through from one end to the other end, so on one side it reads like normal, on the other side everything is reversed. So he says, Kigon Nuvuv Buban. So if the word Nuvuv was written on one side, it would look like Buban at the other. And on the side it corrects Bahar Rahav. Saru Varas. So everything gets reversed because you're seeing it from one end to the other. Now, none of these words appear in Luchot, and I don't know why the Gemara gave words that don't appear in Luchot, but that's the basic idea you have with that. Okay, any questions on that? Everybody good? All right, Ruth, it would be nice to see you. If we could see you, Ruth, I'd love it. Okay, now, the 10th line from the top. So Amri Le Rabbanan, the Rabbi Shuban Levi, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shuban Levi, Atu Dardakeya Idna the Bay Medrasha, but Amru Mile da Philippi Meyo Shubanun, lo it mark about Tayu, that there were some children, young yeshiva students who came to the base medrash, and they said some Chidushe Torah concerning the alphabet that hadn't even been said in the time of Rabbi Shua, in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. I didn't look it up this year, but when I learned this previously, I think the Marashah says that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu it was said, but in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun not. In other words, like, because everything was said in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're around five lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, 104a, five lines from the bottom. So he's from the top, that is, the five lines above where it gets wide. So the Gemara said, Aleph Beit, Aleph Ina. They said that the word Aleph Beit, and it was going through the alphabet. So Aleph Beit, since for Aleph Bina, Aleph means to learn. You should learn Bina, you should learn deep understanding. And Rashi says this refers to Lamod Torah, you should study Torah. He says, Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalim. In other words, you should be helpful to the poor people. It's Gimel Dalim, Gimel Dalet. My Tam Pshuta Kari to Gimel Lagabi Dalet. Why is the leg of the Gimel reach out to the Dalet? And if you have like the art scroll or if you remember what a Gimel looks like, so the Gimel has a leg and it sticks out. So he says Shekin Darko Shel Gomel Chesed Lerutz Achar Dalim. That a Gomel Chesed, he's not reactive, he's proactive. He's, in other words, the real Gomel Chesed is looking to run around to help people. I meant to look it up, but there's a piece that Rav Simon has in, I think, in Breishit, in his Sefer Imri Baruch, so he discusses about Avram Avinu, and that was the meat of Avram Avinu. He didn't just wait, he went to seek out people who needed help. So that's the Gimel, is the leg of the Gimel is reaching out to, in other words, of the Gomel Chesed is reaching out to the Dal. He says, why is it like the leg of the Dalet? The leg of the Dalet means if you have the vertical part of the Dalet, so it's not 100% like straight up, it goes at a slight angle. So it's a slight incline, it's inclined towards the Gimel. He says, that the Ani should make himself available to the Gomel Chesed. And he shouldn't be matriach him. Let's look at Rashi. Limsi le ani nafshei v'lo yatrichinu l'balabai l'rutzach harav. He shouldn't, you know, create a situation where the balabas has to run after him. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. We're the first very wide line on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The first very wide, 104a, the first very wide line. He says, "Umay tam mahadar apei to Dalet mi Gimel." Why is it that the face of the Dalet is turned away from the Gimel? The face of the Dalet is the open part. So in other words, you have the roof, and then it has the right leg, and then it's open, but it's facing the hay. It's not facing the Gimel. Why is that? He says, That when a person gives money, he should give it like shtiller hayd. It should be privately. Person shouldn't become embarrassed from it. You know, the Gemara, I meant to look it up today, but the Gemara Masech Subas around Daf Nun says one of the Chachamim, he would put like the money in a like a satchel over his back and go to the Aniyim, so the Aniyim would take it and he wouldn't see who was taking it. But that's the idea. So Hey Vav says Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey Vav is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say with Hoshanot, Ani, and then you have, you know, the Shem Hashem, but it's not the typical Shem Hashem. He says, Zayin Chet Tet Yud Chaf Lamed V'imata Osekein. Again, we're going to go through. V'imata Osekein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanot Cha, that's the Zayin. Hashem will give you sustenance. V'chanot Cha, he'll show you grace, that's the Chet. He says, U'meitiv L'cha, he'll be good to you, that's the Tet. That's the Yud. He'll give you Yerusha, so an inheritance. And then the Kosher Lecha Keter Le'olam Haba. And the Chaf is he'll tie a Keter, a crown on your head for Olam Haba. Okay, we're on the fourth very wide line on 104a. Robert, you have it? You Kuftal at Amud Aleph, the fourth very wide line. So he says, Mem Petucha Mem Stuma. We're going down the alphabet. So it says, Mem Petucha Mem Stuma. We know there are two forms of the mem. There's the mem in the middle of the word and the mem at the end of the word. So the mem in the middle of the word is called the mem petucha because it has an opening. And the mem at the end of the word is like a box. So it's the mem stuma. It's a closed mem. He says, mamar patuch mamar satum. That alludes to the fact that in the Torah, there are things you can teach to everybody and things that not teach to everybody. And Rashi says, like Maaseh Merkava, like the Gemara learns in Masechet Chagiga, there's the Mishnah. Maaseh Merkava is an exposition of the vision of Yechezkel that we lay on the first day of Shavuos. So that's not to be taught to everybody, and just to a few people. So he says here, Nun Kufa, Nun Pshuta. We're going down the alphabet up to Nun. Again, there's two forms of Nun. There's the Nun in the middle of the word and the straight line down in the end of the word. So he says, Neman Kafuf, Neman Pashut. That the faithful person is bent over and the faithful person stands erect. So he means, if you look at Rashi on this, we'll take a look. Ne'eman kafuf. Adam kasher tzirich li'ot kafuf anav. In other words, a person who's kasher has to be humble, bent down in this world. He says, v'sofo li'ot pashut v'zakuf li'olam haba. And then he'll be erect straight in the olam haba. In other words, you have to, you know, comport yourself in a certain fashion in this world. He says, now back in the Gemara, around the fifth very wide line. Okay, Robert, you have the place, Robert? We're Kuf Dal and Amud Aleph, 104a, around the fifth very wide line, okay? So he says, Samach Ayin, Smoch Aniyim. Samach Ayin stands for support poor people. Lishna Harina, Simanim Asei B'Torah, Ukineyota. You should have Simanim, you should have mnemonic devices to remember the Torah. You know, this, somebody's been talking to me about this program Zichru. I don't know if you've heard about it, but like it works, you get mnemonic devices for each daf, and then you then remember certain things that are connected with a mnemonic device and go through it. But there are simanim, mnemonic devices that you get and then to acquire the Torah that way. Okay, pei kfufa pei pshuta. So we said that there's two forms of pei. We didn't say we're going to say now. There's the pei in the middle of the word, you know, that's sort of like a scroll. And then there's a pei at the end of the word, which is more straight. He says pei patuach pei satum. It means sometimes your mouth should be open. Sometimes there's a time to speak. And then there's a time to be quiet, and a person has to have that to know when that is. That's a little different, I think. That's a little bit of a different concept.
That's with the pe moving, yeah. not keeping quiet.
Well, Pesha Asa Pesha Hithir means that you have a certain Nemanis. In other words, that since they're Neman for the Easter, they're Neman for the Heter. But here, Rashi says, Pepatua Pesatum, that he says that if there's nobody wants to take the lead, in other words, nobody wants to go to the forefront, so then it's time to talk and step forward. But then when there are other Talmidei Chachamim who are greater than you and they're taking the lead, then be quiet. You understand? Like here in America, everybody like, oh, talk. You know, they got ideas, you know. But in Halacha, you have to see who's around, what's doing. So if nobody's around to organize the minyan, you got to get going and organize the minyan. But if you have a greater Talmidei Chachamim who are around and they want to do it, so to defer to them. Okay, now, Tzadi Kfufa, Tzadi Pshuta. We get in with the Tzadi, we have two forms of the tzadi, like the middle form and the final form. So tzadik kafuf, tzadik pashut. So again, these Dardiki, these young kids said that Tzadik is bent over and the Tzadik is straight up. In other words, so Hainu Neman Kafuf Neman Pashut. That's the same thing he said before by Neman. Neman, we said that the person is bent over in this world, he has to be an Arav, and the Olam Haba will be erect. Now for the Tzadik, you're saying the same thing by the Tzadik. So the Gemara says, Hosif Lecha Kfifa Al Kfifato. That the that he's saying that that the tzaddik is even more kafuf. In other words, kafuf means anivus, humility. So the tzaddik, in other words, you have a neman, a faithful person, but a person's like a notch higher. He's a tzaddik, so he's even more kafuf. So he's more of an adav, more of a humble person. And it says mikanshina Torah b'manad rosh. The Torah was given with trembling of the head, in other words, with extraordinary humility. Okay, so now, Kuf Kadosh. Kuf stands for Kadosh, holy, and that's the Ribono Shel Olam. The Kuf is Kadosh, and then Reish, Rasha. Reish is a Rasha. Okay, and welcome, Aaron Moshe, it's nice to have you. Welcome back to New York. We'll talk in a minute. He said, we're around the 10th line on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, 104a, Kuf Dalet, around the 10th, very wide line. So he says, my Tam Mahadar Api to Kuf Me Reish. Why is it that the face of the kuf is turning away from the reish? So it really doesn't mean that. In other words, the reish is back. The opening of the reish is the front of the reish. So the back of the reish is facing the kuf. But the Gemara doesn't want to say, like why is the Rasha turning his face to the Kaddosh as a Kaddosh Baruch Hu? We don't want to say it that way. So we say, why is the Kaddosh Baruch Hu not looking at the Rasha? So he says here, Amar Kaddosh Baruch Hu in an Iyachol Histakel Barasha. I can't look at a Rasha. In other words, he says, Umay Tama. Mahadra Tagi the Kuf Lagabi Reish. Why is it now the Kuf has a tag on it? It has like there's a small little Zion on the Kuf. If you have the art school, you have a picture of it in footnote 26. There's a little, you know, like certain letters have, you know, a little tagim on it. So there's a little tag at the on top of the Kuf. So again, so back in the Gemara. Umay Taima Mahadra Tagi the Kuf Lagabi Reish. Why is it that the tag, the crown on the kuf, faces the reish? He says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu im Choserbo and Ikoshelo Keter Kmoti. It's to stand for the idea if the Rasha does tshuva, he gets a keter, meaning that Chazal teach us, and this is the way they had in the art school, like with Baal Tshuva, like Ein Tzadik, you know, B'makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, Ein Tzadik Gamor Yechol Amod Sham. Place where Baal Tshuva stands, so even a Tzadik Gamor can't be there. So the person shouldn't think, you know, I did this Avera, that Avera, the other Avera. If I do Tshuva, like I'm at the bottom of the heap. And then was he saying, like you get a crown, you're at the top of the heap if you do Tshuva. He says, Umay Tama Tama Kari Dekuf Tluya. Why is it that the leg of the kuf is suspended? And it was the kuf has got two lines on it, right? You have the line that's sort of like the roof that comes down, and then you have like a straight line. So the straight line is the leg of the kuf. So he says, my tamakari the kuf tuli. Why is it suspended in the air? It's not connected to the roof or anything like that. The hader be la ayo v'leyo bahach stands for the idea that if the rasha wants to do tshuva, he can enter through this other opening. In other words, there's an opening on the bottom, but now there's another opening on the side. So if a person wants to do tshuva, there's an opening for him. Misayle the Reish Lakish, this supports what Reish Lakish teaches. The Amar Reish Lakish, Ma'itachivim leitzim hu yalitz, ulanavim yitain chayim. There's a pasuk in Mishle, the book of Proverbs. It says, for scoffers he will scoff, for the humble he'll give favor. Meaning, from here he deduces, Bali tami potchim lo. If a person wants to do a veirot, so the door is open for him. He wants to do a veirot. We're not going to stand in your way to do a veirot. But Bali Tahir Misainotov, a person wants to be Matari himself, he gets Ezra, he gets Siua, he gets help min Hashemayim. So the way he's darshing out this Pasuk, you see the Pasuk means imelitz hu yalitz. Like Pshuto Shemikra means like a Kaddish Baruch Hu, for people who scoff, he'll scoff at them. But the drasha is leitzim hu yalitz. Leitzim that they will scoff. In other words, he gives them a green light. You want to scoff? So you'll scoff. In other words, I'm not blocking you from doing what you want to do. Ulanavim yitain chayin. But the person who's an anav, he'll give grace to. Meaning if a person in his mind decides that he wants to do tshuva or things like that, Hashem will make the path easy for him. So by having the two openings in the kuf, so it's like more than one entrance way to get in. So the rasha, if he chooses to do tshuva, then Hashem will like make it available to him. Just one minute. He says, Bali Tami Potkin Lo, by the time Sayanoto, Shin Sheker. The Shin stands for Sheker, a lie. And then Taf is Emet. The Taf stands for Emet. In other words, the last letter in Emet is the Taf. So he says, My Tama Sheker Makarvan Milay. Why is it that with the word Sheker, the letters of the word Sheker, Shin Kuf Resh, those letters are all near one another in the alphabet? In other words, in the alphabet, it's Kuf Resh Shin. So Kuf Resh Shin in the order of the alphabet. So that spells out Sheker. You just flip over the letters. So Emet Merachem Yili, but Emet, or Emes, you'd say in Yiddish, Emes, the letters are so far away. Aleph is the first letter, Taf is the last letter, and the Mem is the middle letter. Why is it all spread out all over the place? Shikra Shchiach, Kushtalo Shchiach. It's to teach you, like, Sheker, it's all over the place. It's right there. You know, you just turn left, right, I see Sheker. I don't have to search around for Sheker. All the letters are right there. That's Sheker. He says, but MS, it's not so Shchiach. And then just want to finish the alphabet, and I'll get to you for it, okay? Umayitama Shikra Achadakari Koi. Why is it that Sheker stands on one leg? In other words, each one of the letters in Shin, Kuf, and Resh, the way the letters are written in the Sefer Torah, they only touch the klaf, or they only touch the line on the klaf at one point. It was a shin is like a pitchfork. If you have the art school, you have pictures of the letters, I think that helps. But in other words, you have the shin that touches at one point, and the kuf also at one point, or maybe 2 points with the kuf, but in other words, it just touches at one point each letter, I mean each point. And then resh also, in other words, each element only touches at one point, and the resh also touches at one point. So back in the Gemara, So he says, "My time shikra achadakari koyiv emina malbin libune," and the MS has got bricks. In other words, on the other hand, MS is each letter is supported all across the board. Like the aleph stands, you know, touches at 2 points. The mem at all across the bottom. The ten at 2 points. Kushta koi shikra lo koi. It stands for the idea that MS has a firm foundation. MS in the end will stand. Sheker won't stand in the end. That's the basic idea. Okay, who's questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay, go ahead, Ruth, Fern, go ahead. Okay, wait, Aaron Moshe, wait. First Fern, then we'll do Ruth, then we'll do you.
They made a big deal over the formation of the kuf with the two parts, but they didn't do something like that with the hay.
The Gemara elsewhere does have a drasha like that. The Gemara Menachot has a drasha with the hay, but these darta came, they were young students came in, this is what they made the drasha. I don't know what to say. Okay. But the Gemara in Menachot has a similar drasha with the hay. All right, what's up for Ruth?
So, this is very beautiful. However, I'm at art to explain now that this is seen in context with other alphabets where there are so many similarities. What did the Gemara make of the similarities?
It was hard to hear you, Ruth, but I assume you're asking about why the drasha. I mean, Chazal teaches Lashon Kodesh is in a category all by itself. In other words, that's the language that the world was created with. The universe of the Torah was given in Lashon Kodesh. So there's a chashivas with each letter. And other languages, I don't know what to say about, but with Lashon Kodesh, that's the way it works. I mean, you know, I think there's Rabbi Monk, I think, who has a whole book about the letters of the alphabet. And Livia, do you know anything about Rabbi Monk's book or anything like that? All right. Anyway, I think he has a book on it. Okay.
Rabbi Eli Monk.
What?
Eli, I think his first name is...
Right. All right. And okay, now, Aaron, okay, you okay, Ruth, you good?
Okay. Yes and no. It's okay.
Okay, Aaron Moshe, what do you got for me?
No, I was going to say, Rabbi Monk, right away, is, by the way, Musbach HaTarvadas, is Camp Monk up in the country.
All right.
It's the family. I was going to say, we say Chasim Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, if you, the letter Mem being the middle of the two sides of the Aleph and Tov, the way you form the letter Mem in the Torah, it's taking a Chuf and a Vuf together.
All right.
So it says, again, it's Yud Kei Vuf.
I see.
You said a chaf and a vav.
Yeah,
that's 26. Okay. All right. Okay, let's see. I'm going to go back to the Gemara. Everybody mute themselves again, okay? Here, let me help you out. All right. Now, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. All right, now there's another method of, you know, looking at the alphabet, and that's with At Bash. That's where you link up the first letter of the alphabet to the last letter. The first letter is Aleph, last letter is Taf. And then Beis is the second letter with Shin. That's the second to last letter. and you go through the alphabet that way. So each letter is linked up with another letter, and there's a way to write that way as well. But here, this Dardike, you have a drasha based on Atbash. Okay, so back in the Gemara, so Atbash, Oto Oti Taev Etavelo. In other words, he's saying Aleph Taf Oti Mi. A Kaddish Baruch Hu saying that the Rasha, he detests me, he abominates me. That's Aleph Taf. He says Etavelo. Should I desire him? That's also Aleph Taf. He says Beit Shin Bilo Chashak. He doesn't desire me, meaning a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shemiya Cholav. Should my name be placed on him? Then Gimel Reish is the next one. Gimel links up with the Reish. Gufo Timei Arachem Alav. He was Metamei is Guf, maybe engaged in like sexual immorality or something like that. Arachem Alav, should I have Rachmanis on him? Dak, he says, Dal Totai Na'al, he closed my doors, Karnavlo Agadea. Should I not like uproot Karnet? Karen is a horn, but it means like his glory, his where his standing in life. He says, Adkan Midat Rishoyim. So now that we dealt with Rishayim, now we're doing to the Tzaddikim. I will meet the Tzaddikim. Now for the Tzaddikim, I'll darshan the letters differently. At Bash, imata bosh. It means im is the Aleph, you know, and then ata is an Aleph, and then bosh is the Beis. If you are like embarrassed, you have like anivus, you have humility before a Kaddish Baruch Hu, guard dak, imata osekein, Gur B'dok, you'll reside in Dok in the heavens. He says, then, Hatzbaf, again, we're continuing on, Chatzitza Hevei Bein Chala'af. So again, for purposes of drashas, we can interchange the hay with the chet. So we have hay tzadi. The hay is connected with the tzadi. We're five lines from the bottom on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, 104a, Michael, five lines from the bottom. Okay? So he says, Hatzbaf, he says, Chatzitza Heve bein chala'af, that that there'll be an interposition between you and anger. In other words, you're a firm person, so there'll be like a barrier between you and the anger from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If you're you know, conducting yourself with humility, he says. So again, the chatzitz is the hay, and then the tzadi. In other words, chatzitz is the chet and the tzadi is the hay and the tzadi. That's chatzitza, and then heve, that's the vav, the heve bein chala af is the pay between you and anger. Okay, then zayin ayin chet samech tet nun. Again, we're continuing on. We're doing this at bash. He says be'enata mizdazeya. In other words, if you conduct yourself in a firm way, you won't tremble. Mizdazeya, that's the zayin ayin. Min ha-satan. So the satan is, here the chet is flipping over with the hay. Before the hay flipped over with the chet, now the chet is flipping over with the hay. So chet samech tet nun is ha-satan. Ha-satan. Everybody see it? Ha-satan. We're spelling satan with a samech. Okay, v'inadam mizazeh min ha-satan. You won't tremble from the satan. Yam kol, again, we're continuing with akbash. Those letters link up. Yam kol, Amar Sarshal Gehenim of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Malach in charge of Gehenim says before Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalolam, Liyam Kol. Everybody should go to Liyam. In other words, Liyam means to Gehenim. In other words, like, you know, the Jewish sinners, the non-Jewish sinners, everybody should go to Liyam. Amar Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay, now at this point, okay, so we have sort of a dialogue with a Kaddish Baruch Hu and the Satan. And now the Gemara flips over to a different method of lining up these letters. So another way to link up the letters is to have like three columns of seven each. In other words, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So I'll have column A, you'll have seven letters. Column B will have seven letters. And the third column will have eight letters. And so the first, you know, the first row of each one will link up. And the second row will be each one. So in other words, each row I'll have three letters linking up. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying to the Satan, Achas B'Tagif. So Aleph Chet and Samech is the first letter of each one of the seven letters. And then Bata is the second letter in each group. Gif is the third letter in each group. I hope everybody's got that. So he says here, Ani chas alehem. In other words, achas is ani chas aleihem. I Hashem will have rachmanis on them. B'nei sheba'atu b'gif. Then bata, which is flipping on letters, they kicked, they rejected gif. Gif is beguf. In other words, they didn't sin begufam. In other words, they didn't sin with sexual immorality. He says, then dachatz. Again, we're continuing on with all the letters. Dachatz, dachimheim. They're pure. Kenimheim, tzadikimheim. They're good people. So I don't want them going to Gehenna. He says, then halak. Again, we're going. I'm sorry that the art school didn't make a list of the letters so you could see more clearly. I think that would have helped. But again, you have three columns of letters. I'm just repeating myself. So seven, seven, then eight. Then we're up to the fifth line. The fifth line is hey. So the fifth line in the first column is a hey. The fifth line in the second column is a lamed. The fifth line in the third column is a kuf. So he says here, tzadikim heim, halak, ein lecha chelek bahem. In other words, he's again interposing the hey with the chet, chelek. You don't have, you, the satan, have nothing to do with them. He says, umarzan shat. So this gets even a little trickier at this point. Just 1 minute. He's flipping to another way of working with letters in the alphabet at this point in time. Give me 1 second, 1 second. 1 second, give me 1 second. Yeah, no, okay, so we're still good. Okay, so Umar is the sixth line, Vav Mem Resh, and then Zan Shat, that's the seventh one, and we're throwing the Taf in. Okay, so we're continuing on with the three columns. We have it linked up. So he says, Umar Zan Shait, Amar Gehenim Lefanav, Gehenim said before Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mari, my master, Zaneni Mizaro Shel Shait. In other words, like satiate me, feed me from the progeny of Shait. Oh, something happened. 1 second. I don't know what's going on. 1 second. What is this all about? One second. One second. Why am I, why? Oh, Ruth, you did that. Ruth, why am I seeing your screen?
Ruth? I don't, what?
What? I'm seeing your screen. What's going on?
I don't know.
All right, that's better. That's better. Thank you. Okay, that's not something people normally want to do. You know, you never know what's on the screen. Okay, let's take a look. All right, you were sharing your screen with me. In other words, you must have hit share screen. And
I was very playful.
Okay.
Let's with everyone.
Okay, let's mute. Okay, now, so he says, Amar Gen Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Mari, my master, Zuneini Mizaro Shel Shait. In other words, like, nourish me, satisfy me, from the descendants of Shait. It means from the Jews and the non-Jews, send them all over to me. Now, Amarle, and now here he shifts over to another way of organizing the letters of the alphabet. So again, there are 22 Hebrew letters in the alphabet, so I can organize them in two columns, 11 and 11. So I'll do column A, I have 1 through 11, and then column B, 12 through 22. Okay, so he says here, Amarle, Al-Bam. In other words, the first column has an Aleph, the second column has a Lamed. The first column has a Beis, the second column has a Mem. So Amarle, Al-Bam, Gandas. Those are the four notches. So he says here, Lehechan Olichem. In other words, he's taking an Al-Bam, the Beis changes with a Chaf. So Al-Bam is Al-Chem, Olichem. So Ribbono Shalom says, Lahechan Olichem, Lagan Hadas. Where am I going to take them? Lagan Hadas means the garden with myrtle, but it means like Gan Eden. He says, then Hey Vaf. So Hey Vaf, again, we're going down like to the fifth notch and the sixth notch. He says, Hey Vaf, Amar Gehenim Lefanav, Ribbono Shalom, Ayefan Ochi. In other words, so Hey stands for Hashem, that Gehenim said before Hashem, and you have ayin, vav, pei. So the vav, we're going to switch over with the yud. You shorten the vav, it's a yud. That's the way this works. He says, ayef anochi, I'm tired. He says, that's what, who in Chumash says ayef anochi? Who says? Right, that's 100% correct. Ayef anochi. Zatzchak, he says, halalu zarosh al yitzchak. So So I'm ayef. I'm hungry for victims. So a Kaddish Baruch Hu says zatzchak. Zatzchak is what the Ribbono Shalom is saying. Halalu zarosh al Yitzchak. He says, look, you're talking about the progeny of Yitzchak, and you can't have them. Tar yesh chat. Tar means you should. I think wait. What is tar? Tar is. Tar is wait, what's tar? One second.
Wait.
That's what I said. Yeah, tar. Yeshli kito shaltei kochavim shani noten lecha. Wait, yesh kat. I have lots of goyim I want to give you, but leave the Jews alone. Okay, so that's the way that these young kids darshan out the psukim and the chumash. Okay, any questions, comments, and thoughts? Anything we did so far? Okay, turn the page and then Hadron.
Yeah, I have one. What did the whole last segment have to do with Shabbos?
Yeah, so it means like this. We were discussing Melechet Kotev, writing on Shabbos, and then,
right.
then we segued into the writing on the Luchot, and then we segued into, you came a little bit late to today's shir, but the Gemara said that there were these young students who came to the Beis Medrash and were able to darshan the alphabet in a way that hadn't been done from the time Yoshua ben Nun. So that's the way, just connected to writing.
Now, I got the progression, but I couldn't figure out. I saw in the beginning when we got onto this line that they were talking about how you form certain letters, and that was relevant to the issue of whether it was a violation of Malacha. But then we seem to just
No. Today I didn't talk about Malacha yet.
No. I'm talking about not today.
Oh, prior to today, yeah.
In other words, the progression of this was, if you form letters in a certain way, it would be malacha. And then we somehow gravitated into this, and I didn't really see the connection to malacha or Shabbos.
There is none, but it's part of the magical, mystical aspect of Lashon HaKodesh, of the Hebrew language.
Yeah, so it's almost like an independent subject.
I got it.
The Gemara will frequently move from topic to topic to topic. It's not as like, you know, so contained. One as our discussion goes, right? You have a discussion with somebody, a halakhic discussion. One thing leads into another.
Oh, so for a tangent.
That's the way the Gemara goes.
Yeah, that's. I just want to know if there was any connection.
Well, loosely there's a connection because we're talking about writing and things like that. Okay,
right.
Now on the top line on Amud Beis, Kuftal Amud Beis, Matnitin. Okay. Hakotev Shteyotiot Behelim Echad Chayav. If a person writes two letters in one act of halama, means inadvertence, in other words, he forgot the writing was prohibited on Shabbos, he wrote one letter, then another letter, he's Chayav Korban Chatat. This we had already in the Gemara. This is just repeated. Now, if a person writes on Shabbos, bidyo is ink, and then sam, he says, is paint. Then besikra is the red pigment. Bekumus, he says, is gum. And then the last one is kankantum, is ferrous sulfate. Anything that marks, in other words, if it has to have some permanence, to be chayiv on a deraisa level for the melachet of kotev on Shabbat. That's the basic idea. He says, now, if a person writes al shnei kotlei zaviot, let's say I have a room, so let's say that I have the right side of the room and the front of the room. Let's say I write one letter on the right wall and then one letter adjacent to it on the front wall. I'm still going to be chayiv, we'll see. V'al shnei lebachei pinkas, where I write it on two different boards, in a ledger. In other words, like they would have these boards, they'd be covered with wax, and then in the wax they would incise letters. So let's say on board A I incise one letter, and board B I incise another letter, but the both letters are juxtaposed next to one another. He says, they could be read one with another, chayav. So then under those circumstances I'm chayav. So even though it's like not exactly on the same surface, one's on one wall, one's on another wall, one's on one, you know, board, one's on another board, but since they could be read together, some chayav on a deraisa level. Hakotev al basaro chayav. If a person writes, you know, with ink on his flesh, he's chayav on a deraisa level on Shabbat. He says, hamisared al basaro. Now, misared is like incising, cutting. If I cut into my flesh, Reb Lezer mechayav chatat, The Tanur Lezer says, yeah, you did a malacha deraisa, you're chayv chatat if it's b'shogeg. V'chachamim potrim. Chachamim, so you're pater, they said, that's not the derech ketiva. People don't incise on their flesh. So even if you did that, that's not the way ketiva is normally done by people. So you're not chayv on a Torah level. So in all these cases, it would be prohibited on a Rabbanan level, but you're not chayv on a Torah level. He says, now, Katab Mashkin, if a person wrote, they translate Mashkin as liquids, but and they explain the notes, and Rashi explains, it's talking about a thing from mulberries. In other words, the mulberry, you can make like a juice from the mulberry that it would be like dark, like black. Let's see what he says here. Yeah, mulberry juice, right. So I have a black, like a black ink, or B'mei Peirot is fruit juice. Bavak Drachim, Avak Drachim would be with mud. So either I take mud and I take the mud and form letters with it, or the other pshat is I like take my finger and I write in the mud. like you know, like people frequently write in cement. So like you're writing in the mud. So we'll see. Bavak Hasofrim. Avak Hasofrim is like the residue that's left in the in the jar that the sofer is using. So he says here, so I'm writing something with scribe's dust, he says. Let me just give me 1 second. Let me just see. 1 second. So for him, Afurit shel keser ha-sofer, uvechol davar she'enu mitkayim patur. Anything that doesn't have endurance, so I'll be patur. So, you know, we'll hopefully we'll discuss this. You know, the poskim speak about sometimes, like, let's say on Shabbos, you have a frosted window. You know, I want to write my name in the frost. That's also prohibited on a Drabbanan level. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like children frequently do that. So anyway, you get the idea. So if it's nothing permanent, it's patur. Now, la'achar yado. Now here, la'achar yado means literally with the back of my hand, meaning I take a quill here, like here's my pen. I don't know if you can see it here. Let's say I take my pen. Here, I'll uncap it. Here, I have the pen. Here's the tip of the pen on the back of my hand. And then I write with the back of my hand like that. So that's obviously not the normal way of writing. So he says, la'achar yado baraglo. I write with my foot. I put the pen, let's say, between my toes. Befiv, I put the pen in my mouth and I write. Bemar peko, with my elbow. I put the pen in the, you know, in my elbow and write. Or katavacha odachat samuch liktav. Let's say there was something written on a piece of paper before Shabbat, and now on Shabbat I write another letter next to it, and now I complete something that's understandable, or you know, I'm completing two letters. So he says, v'katav al gabi ktav, or I wrote over a word. There was a word that was there, and I wrote over the word. Nikavin lechtov chet v'katav shtei zainin. I intended to write a chet. Now a chet, in the Ksav of the Beis Yosef, is really, I don't know if you've looked in a Sefer Torah, it's really comprised of two Zions. And there was many letters, Aaron Moshe was referring to this before with the Mem, but many letters in Hebrew are really comprised of other letters. In other words, you put together the other letters, and then you have the complete letter. So a Chet is really one Zion, and then another Zion, and then something connecting the roof. In other words, connecting both Zions. So here he says, the person intended to write a chet. He wanted to write one letter he intended to write. Instead, he wrote, he didn't write over the roof. He just wrote one Zion and another Zion. So now he's got two letters. He wrote one letter he wrote like near the ground. One letter he writes on the beam. He says, he wrote it on two walls. Let's say I write one on the right wall, one on the left wall. It was far away from one another. Al shnei dapei pinkas, or let's say I have a ledger. I write in two different columns, so I can't read these letters together. In other words, one letter doesn't look like it has anything to do with the other letter. He says, ba'ein nehagin zeim zeh, and they can't be read together, then he's patur. All of these cases, he's patur. That was with the two zainin, he did not intend to write two zainin. He intended to write one letter, chet. He says, Katav odachat no trikun. If you wrote one letter no trikun abbreviation, let's say I write the letter A and I put a period next to it or something like that, and so it stands for a whole word, Rabbi Shubin b'teira mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Shubin b'teira says I'm chayev on a deraisa level, and the chachamim say I'm patur. But again, in each one of these cases, where we say it's patur, it means patur aval asur. So it's patur on a Torah level, but rabbinically, you're always forbidden. So that's it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did in the Mishnah?
What's the last case?
The last case is he writes a letter, which is an abbreviation. It was he writes
like a Reish and a Rosh HaTevet.
Right. In other words, the right. Like, that's a good example. He writes a Reish with an apostrophe next to it. So that stands for Rebbe or Rav. So there's a machloket, a mechaya for that. In other words, on the one hand, it's like an abbreviation and everybody understands it means Rav. On the other hand, I only wrote one letter. Okay. All right, any other questions?
How about if I type on an electronic device?
It's not Doraisa. It's not Doraisa if you type on an electronic device because Ksiva is the whole thing. So let's say I have my computer and I'm typing into my computer. So it certainly would not be the Malacha Doraisa. And I'm not even, you're over a different Aveirot. I don't know if Ksiva would be one of the things that you're over on. I'm not sure you'd be over on Ksiva at all. I think you'd be over on a different Aveirot by typing, but I don't know if you're over on Ksiva. In other words, because it's creating just like an electronic, it has no, in the form it's on the screen, it has no kium because I close out the
no
document.
Permanence.
It just it exists in like the ether sphere or on the wire. So I don't know. But I think you'd be chayav like for use electricity and creating circuits and things like that. All right. I'm gonna go in the Gemara.
I have one more question.
Yeah, what's up, Yosef?
We had Rabbi Yossi who said just by making a mark you're chayav.
Right, that's true.
Where would he fit in here? You'll be chayav in all these cases.
So which that we have a lot of cases. Which ones are you referring to? The first part.
All of them. Even one letter.
Okay. The first part of the Mishnah spoke about writing with ink. So he could agree with that you need to write with ink, right?
Write two letters. You don't need to write two letters.
You don't need to write two letters, but you need to write two marks on adjacent walls. I can't write one mark on one wall. Make one mark on the other wall.
So they require two marks.
Yeah. But with the abbreviation, then he would say he would say like the threshold is less than that because he just a mark and another mark is what's required. But the truth is with one letter and then the other apostrophe, so
might be second mark.
Right, he would assume that. I assume he would say you're chayav for that. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, everybody mute themselves. Good. Okay, now. Okay, we're on the 10th line from the top on Kuftalim of Days. All right, so Gemara, Dio. Now, the Gemara is going to translate all the elements for writing that we mentioned earlier, okay? So the Gemara says Dio is Diuta. Dio is the black ink, so it means the black ink. That's Dio is Diuta. Sam is the paint, and it means orpiment. That's Sam. In other words, the Gemara is translating the words of the Mishnah are Mishnaic Hebrew. The Gemara is translating the Mishnaic Hebrew into Aramaic. So Sam in the Lashon Mishnah means Sama in Aramaic, which is the orpiment. Sikra, Amar Rabbi Rachana, Sikra Tashma. So Rabbi Rachana, Sikra, that's the red pigment. Remember, Fern, what do you got for me? Well, let me hear. Where do you see? Where is Sikra?
Sikra.
Excellent, Fern. Okay, the Mizbeach had a red line through the middle of it. Chuda Sikra. Okay, very good. Okay, now, Kumas, Kuma. So Kumas, which is gum, means gum Arabic. He says Kankantum is the ferrous sulfate. Amar Barachana, Amar Shmuel, Charta de Ushkifi. That's the shoemaker's blackening. Anyway, the idea is, again, the basic idea is that if you write with something that has permanence, it doesn't mean that you know, there's no way to get rid of it, but if you write something that has some permanence to it, then you're chayav for ktiv on Shabbat, okay? V'chol devar shu roshem, anything that like makes rishima, that makes a permanent impression, la tu yemai, to include what? La tu yehadetani Rabbi Chananya, to include that which Rabbi Chananya taught in a braisa. Ketavo b'mei tarya, that he's writing a get. So if he writes the get, but meitarya is the rainwater, but it means like dirty rainwater. So if I write the get with dirty rain, in other words, he's assuming the same dinim by get will apply by Shabbat. So if it's permanent enough to write a get, it's permanent enough to be chayev for writing on Shabbat. So he says, if you wrote the get, but meitarya, the way I'm translating it is dirty rainwater, but afsa is the gallnuts, gallnut juice, either one. It's A or B. He says kasher. The get is kasher. And so that's what the Mishnah is alluding to. V'chol davar shu saroshim, anything that has some permanence. So those things have some permanence. I write it and it leaves a, you know, writing that I can read afterwards. So Tani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya taught a braita, Kitavo ba'avak. If a person wrote, again, we're still with the get. Now, the Rashi has ba'avar. If he wrote the get with lead, so like you have like a lead pencil, you know, that type of thing. He wrote it with lead. He says, bishachor, he wrote it with charcoal. Uvishichur, shichur, he says, the shoemaker is blackening, kasher. So the get is kasher, and by analogy, you'd be chayav for writing on Shabbat. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move forward. Now, Hamasarid al Basaro, we said if a person makes cuts in his flesh with writing, some like, you know, so the Gemara says, Tani, we learned the Braisa, Amar lehen Reb Lezer lechachamim. The Tani Reb Lezer said to the Chachamim, Ba'lo ben sitta hosik shafimi mitzrayim besritza sha'al Basaro. So in Egypt, they had a lot of kishuf, a lot of sorcery, and they guarded all their secrets. They didn't want anybody to take the secrets out. So this fellow ben sitta, he recorded, you know, whatever, like the incantations, whatever, you know, they had border checkpoints. So he wants to get through it. So he writes like the, you know, whatever he has to write about the Kishuf, he incises it into his flesh, and then he's walking, leaving Egypt with it. So Reb Lezer is adducing this as proof that should be a form of writing. You see this fellow Ben Sitta, he wrote with that. So the Gemara says, Amrulo, the Chami said back to him, Shotaya, the guy was cracked in his head. We don't bring a raya from somebody who's a bissel meshuga. Now, it's not so pashut to say meshuga. Somebody did not mute themselves, Ruth. Okay, one second. Let me help you out. Okay. No. Okay, there you go. Now, so the, let's look at Rashi on this. On Hosik Shafim, everybody have the Rashi on the left-hand column. Hosik Shafim, he says, "Shelo yechol hotzian ktuvim shu chartumim bodkim kol yotzim." The chartumim, who are like the sorcerers, some say chartumim is connected to Khartoum. There's a city in Africa, Khartoum. You know, it's the capital of Sudan, or now it's northern Sudan. Anyway, so he says here, it's where the Blue Nile and the White Nile come together to form the Nile. So he says. He says, "Shayu chartumim bodkim kol yotzim shlo yotziuk shafim lamdam l'vnei b'dina acheret shotaya shturaya bo lasot masha ein derech b'nei adam osim u'masar nafsho al adavar." It means just because he does it doesn't mean that's the way you write it. You found one meshuga person who's writing that way. It doesn't mean that that's a form that we would normally call ketiva writing. Okay, now let me go further in the Gemara.
Why isn't that wounding? Why isn't he's engraving it in his hand, right?
So,
it's called cutting.
Yeah. Well, it could be. The only thing is, for a chabura, you have to cut till blood comes out. So it might be that he's incising it like not that deep, but it could be chabura also. I don't know. It depends on what he was doing. But we're just focusing on the writing. Okay, they're back in the Gemara. Let me see where we are. Okay, Ketav Odechat Samuch L'Ketav. So let's say something was written already before Shabbat, one letter, and then I write another letter next to it on Shabbat. So we said in that case, I'm Patur, right? That's what we said, right? Ketav Odechat Samuch L'Ketav. So in all those cases, we said it's Patur. So he says, so Mantana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Amarava Bar Rav Huna, Delok Reb Lezer. The Tana of our Mishnah cannot be the Tana Reb Lezer. Di Reb Lezer Ha'amar Acharala Ari Chayav. Reb Lezer says, everybody agrees if I'm weaving for the first time, so I have to weave it, you know, twice, whatever. But if there's already a garment that's being woven, the Tana Reb Lezer says, if I add one string across, I'm Chayav. You'll have this in tomorrow's daf. So presumably Reb Lezer would hold, if one letter was written and I add on a letter, I'll also be chayav. Just like I have a woven garment, I add one thread, so I'm chayav here too. So the Tana of our Mishnah is not Reb Lezer. We don't know who the Tana of Mishnah is, but it's not the Tana of Reb Lezer. Ketav al gabi ketav, if a person wrote over writing, again, we said he's also patur. So man Tana, who's the Tana who says that? Amar Rav Chista d'lok Reb Yehuda. So Rav Chista says that it's not the Tana Reb Yehuda. He says, "The Tani, we learn the Braisa, Now, we're talking about a person who's writing a Sefer Torah. He's a sofer, and he has to write the Shem Hashem. He says, Yehuda. Instead, he thought he's got to write the name Yehuda, which is, Shem Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. He thinks he has to write Yehuda, which has got five letters, an extra dalet in Yehuda, right? So he says here, V'ta'a below hitil bo dalet. But he made a mistake in writing, and he did not put a dalet there. So he intended to write the name Yehuda. Instead, he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. He says, but he didn't have kavana to write the Shem Hashem. So for writing, you have to have kavana for the Shem Hashem. He says, so the Tana Kama says, which is going to be Rabbi Yehuda, ma'avir lav kulmos umekacho de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, all is not lost. He can take his kulmos and rewrite over the Shem Hashem, having kavana to write the Shem Hashem. So b'meila, you see that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, writing over existing ksav counts as a writing. It's sufficient writing to kasher a sefer Torah. He says, "V'chachamim omrim." The chachamim say, "Ein Hashem in a muvchar." That Shem Hashem is not the best written meaning, and it's not kasher, and so you can't use it for a sefer Torah. So, looking at that, so we can see the Tana of our Mishnah who says that that if you wrote a name over another name, you're patur. It's not like the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana of Rabbi Yehuda Mistam would say that you're chayav for that. Okay. Okay, let me just do one more line, then I'll pause. Tana taught in a brisa, k'tav od echad v'shlima l'sefer. If a person wrote one letter and now he completes the sefer, so Rashi learns that it could be any one of the 24 sifrei Tanakh. Let's say they're all written in scrolls. So I write one letter and now I complete the sefer. He says, arag chud echad v'shlima l'beged. I wove one thread and now the beged is absolutely complete. Chayav, I'm chayav. So the Gemara says, "Man Tana, who's the Tana of this brisa?" So Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Reb Lezer he. So Rava Bar Rav Huna said, "Mistama, the Tana of brisa should be the Tana Reb Lezer, who we had a few lines ago." The Amar Achad Al Arik Chayav. Reb Lezer holds, if I have something that's woven, I add one thread, I'm Chayav, even though normally it takes like two. But here, where it's woven already, I can add one onto it. Ravashi Amar Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. Ravashi says you could even say that brisa goes on the Chachamim who are Mechulak with Reb Lezer. But Lahashlim Shani, when I'm completing, I'm doing the act that completes the object, so maybe even the Chachamim will agree that has a greater Chashivas. So if I write one letter, maybe even the Chachamim will say to do it if it completes the whole Sefer. In other words, like that's like you know, like the person's being Chubad with writing the last letter in a Sefer Torah. So that's like pulling in the plug, and the electric lights are going off. And the same thing with the Arik. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts?
Why isn't that Makab Patish?
I don't know. It could be Makab Patish. I don't know, but here the Gemara is saying it's this. I don't know. I don't know why it's not Makab Patish.
Why can't we say it is?
Well,
the Gemara is just talking about Malachov writing.
Right,
it's like you said before.
Yeah, usually, if it's Makab Patish, it usually doesn't go with Makab Patish. Means I tell you what, it's not Makab Patish. He says Makab Patish means the object is completed, and now I do like the icing on the cake. That's what Makab Patish is. In other words, let's say I complete a vase, and the vase is usable right now, but I add like something like the final stroke, like design or something like that. That's Makab Patish. Here, the object is not complete. In other words, I have to have a complete object. So I have not completed the object. That's what I think. That's why I think it's not Makab Patish. But usually I think Yosef, Makab Patish doesn't go with another malacha. It's the other malacha, then you get Makab Patish. Usually it's not both together. That's the way I understand it. All right. Now, any other questions coming from Fern? What's up?
Yes. How come in that section before, when he writes Yehuda, when he means to write Yehuda, and he writes Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the correct thing, and then he goes over it. Why is that the standard we're using for Ketiva on Shabbos? One is Sifrit with Sefer Torah, and one is writing on Shabbos.
Yeah, but in other words, we're extrapolating from that halacha. We see that over there, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that I think it's Pumfakir. In other words, over there I have high standards, and I have a high requirement for Ketiva. And notwithstanding that, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if I write over it, I've passed that barrier. I've done good ksiva. So it's, I think the argument goes the opposite way. Certainly it should be by Shabbat if I write over another word.
So you're using a Kal Vachomer.
I wasn't using the Kal Vachomer, but if anything, it's even more so. That's what I would say. All right. Any other questions?
But I would think it's a whole other discipline. It's Sifrut.
You're right. It is Safras. But we're talking about writing, and that's writing. So we can, like we saw by the Get, it's also a type of writing.
That was another question I had by the Get.
All right. So some things are comparable. All right. All right. I think we're good. Let me go further. All right. Let me wrap it up now. All right. Let's see further. Okay. So 8 lines from the bottom. Just like remember the main concepts, you're doing something lahashlim that has greater chashivas, you know, something which is, you know, has kiyum, that's you know, like get the main ideas from the daf, you know, like the, like, all right, now in other words,
the bottom number 38 talks about makir patish, by the way,
footnote 38.
Yes.
Okay, let me take a look. 38. Yeah, so he says you're not chayav for makir b'patish. So he says, see an explanation. So I he doesn't explain why, but I gave a hesber for that. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Ami katav odachat b'tveria. Let's say he we don't know the case, but I'm going to explain it based on the maskana. He has a sheet of paper. He writes on one sheet of paper one letter. He's in Tveria. Tveria is, I'm sure you've been to Eretz Yisrael. It's a city or a town on the Yam HaKineret, on the Sea of Galilee. Vachat b'Tzipori. Then he travels to Tzipori, which is miles away, and he writes another letter on a different sheet of paper. He says, Chayav, Ktivahi, El Shemachusar Kriva. That's considered Ksiva. In other words, because if he would take those two sheets, he could put them together, and now the letters are near each other. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara says, One second. Okay, so ketiva heel shuchusar kriva, but hatznan. But the Gemara says, but we learned the Mishnah, ketav al shnei kotlei abayit. If I wrote on two walls of the house that were not contiguous, I write on the right wall, the left wall. He says, v'al shnei dapei pinkas, or two columns in a ledger. So look, I have column A and column B. I write in the bottom of column A and the top of column B. V'ein negin zemzeh, and I can't read one with another. I'm patur. So how come the Mishnah says, I'm writing here, writing there, I'm patur, I can't read it together. And in my example, I sort of like gave you a clue already. I'm writing on one sheet, I'm writing on the other sheet, I'm chayiv. She says, hata mechusar ma'isa dekriva. Over there, let's say, by the two walls, and what was the other case? By the two dapim. So to make those letters fit together, I'd have to like demolish the wall, you know, like cut off a piece of the wall, bring it over. I got to like take my scissors out and cut up the column and bring it together. So it's a big mindset to bring it together. Here, it does require some mindset, but it's not a great mindset. So I just bring the two sheets together and now I can read them together. So mele am chayev. Tana torna braisa, higia odachat chayev. If a person corrected one letter, he's chayev. So the Gemara says, Hashta ketav orachat patur, yi orachat chayav. How can you say that? You taught me, I write one whole letter on patur. Now you say, I correct the letter, which is even less, and you say, I'm chayav? So he says, Amar Rav Sheshet, hachamay eskinan. Rav Sheshet said, what is the case that the Braisa was talking about that said, I'm chayav? Gon she not lulagago shel chet. In other words, I have a chet. You know, I meant to mention this to you before. You know, I got a little, off. When we said a chet is comprised of two zions and it's connected by a roof. So that's not a davar muskam. That's in the ksav of the Beis Yosef, that's way. In the ksav of the Ari, a chet is a vav and a zion. A vav and a zion. So you see, this Gemara is like, you know, against the Ari. I don't know how he had different ways of writing the letters. And it's not, doesn't follow normative halacha with the ksav of the Ari. And you see here from the Gemara, muchrach, not like the Ari, because the Gemara says that a chet is comprised of two zions.
You could look on page 103, has all the letters.
103 where?
103b3.
103, and so what is it going to show me there?
Oh, the two zions, you could see at a chet.
Yeah, but it doesn't help me with what I said about the Ari and the other thing. Okay, but you're right. That shows two Zions, but the Ksav of the Ari is not that way. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So So Amrav Sheshet, the first very wide line downstairs, Amrav Sheshet, Hacha B'maya Askinan, what is the case that we're dealing with here that we said he will be chayev if he just corrects it a little bit? He took the bridge between, there was a chet there, and he wanted to have two zions. It sounds like he erased the gaga, the chet, but he's going to be chayev for ksiva. Even though he's erasing, he's going to be chayev for ksiva because he's creating two letters by erasing. So he says, Rava Amar, Rava has a different answer. Gagon shenat lu tago shodalit ba'asa oresh. He says the case that he's chayev is he took away like what, like the dalit sticks out a little bit on the right hand and the resh looks similar. So he took out the little protuberance from the dalit and converted it into a resh. So Tana, so one minute. Now, 1 second.
That's only one letter.
One letter, right. Right. So it means like this. He's got a Sefer Tanakh, and the Sefer Tanakh is not so correct. So you're right. So with that one letter, it's similar to the Gemara in Menachot. Like if a person, like why do we give out letters at the Siyam of a Sefer Torah? Like the Gemara learns if a person is even Magia in one letter, he's like he wrote the whole Sefer. So he's correcting one letter. It should have been a Reish, and he had a Dalet, so he corrected that, and then he's going to be Chayev. Now, Tana taught Nebraisa, did Kavin Lechtov Orachat, he intended to write one letter, but Alu B'yado Shtayim, instead, he ended up with two letters, Chayav, Batnan Patur, but we learn in the Mishnah that he's Patur in that case. So again, the Mishnah said he intended to write two letters, he intended to write one letter, and he ended up with two letters, he's Patur in the Mishnah, but he's Chayav in the Braisa. Lo Kasha, had to buy Ziyune, had to buy Ziyune. So Louis Rashi learns, it depends on whether the letters that he wrote, whether it has like a tag on top. In other words, let's say he intends to write one letter, he thought he was going to write like a chet, and instead he wrote two zions, which is the way you would write a chet. So if the zions have like a little tag on each one, that means the zions are totally complete. Then I'm going to be chayev. But if they don't have that flag on top, then I'm going to be patur. That's the way the Gemara is saying. In other words, if the zions are really gantz zions, they're full-fledged zions, because I even put a tag on it, then I'm going to be chayev. Otherwise, I'll be patur. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the way Rashi learns. If you look, if you have the art scroll, you see how the zion has got like three tagim on top of it. You know, there's an acronym, Shatnez Gatz. So the letters Shatnez Gatz have those three tagim in the Sefer Torah. All right, now, I wanted to do some halacha with you. We're running out of time. I'll do it quickly and briefly, and then that'll be it. So one thing I'll talk about briefly, let's say I have a book, like library books, you know, frequently have printed on the side of the book. You have printing on the side of the book, you know, on the edges. Everybody muted because I'm hearing some people. Okay, so he says here, this is from this book by Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen. So according to some poskim, if a book has words or letters stamped on the edge of the pages, as is common in library books, one is forbidden to open and close the book and thereby break apart or combine the parts and letters. So every time I open the book or close the book, like Mochek and Kotev, because like, let's say it says Great Neck Public Library. Not that I'm recommending reading a public library book on Shabbat. There's dinim about what a person should read on Shabbat. But let's say you have a sefer from a library. Like I'll tell you, unfortunately, at YU, the library also prints on the sides of the book, and it's not so easy. So he says here, others dispute this ruling, contend that since a book is meant to be opened and closed constantly, doing so does not qualify as erasing and writing, like opening and closing a door on Shabbat. Like every time, why am I not chayav for bona besoter every time I open and close the door to my house? I close the door, I should be bona. I open the door, I should be soter, right? I'm hitting a wall, opening a wall. But that's the way it's made. So some want to say that way. Now, it is customary, he says, to follow lenient opinion. Nevertheless, if one has another copy of the same book, there's no writing on the edge, you should use that one, not with the writing. Alternatively, one can avoid the problem by inserting a sheet of paper between the pages before Shabbat, so letters might remain broken when the book is closed. So you take a loose leaf paper before Shabbat, you put it between the letters, now you're in better shape with that. Now, there's also an issue that comes up with like cakes that have writing on it, and then I got to go. Now, he says, let's say you have a cake and it says happy birthday to you, or whatever. Happy birthday to Faggy on the cake. It's written on the cake. So so to destroy the letters on Shabbat, that's that. Now, those letters are not so permanent, right? They're made to be eaten, right? So they're not so permanent. But nevertheless, I'm not supposed to destroy those letters on Shabbat. And here I have the birthday cake. So he says, if a cake is decorated with frosting in the form of words, letters are any forbidden to cut the cake in any way that deforms the letters or ruins the picture. So you should know that it's not a good idea when you're having a cake on Shabbat that it should have writing on it. For example, the cake has happy birthday, you can't cut through the letters. Also forbidden to peel the letters off the cake. Okay, there's more to talk about with these letters and the cake, but there are a lot of applications for writing on Shabbat. Listen, now, Belina, let me end the recording here. Let me get rid of the recording. 1 second. Let me get rid of the recording.